Welcome to another episode of the Front and Planning Guru podcast. I'm Liam, and today we have an interview for you on construction work and mental health between Dr. Gibson, our guru, with 4 years of experience in the industry and 30 years of research in front and planning, and our guest, David James, who is the former CFO for the FNF Construction, a heavy and highway contractor in Tempe, Arizona. Bit about David. David serves on the National Workplace Suicide Prevention Task Force representing the construction industry. He also served as the inaugural chairman of the Suicide Prevention Committee of the Construction Financial Management Association, where he actually continues to serve as a committee member. So without further ado, let's dive in. Dr. Gibson, take it away.
Thanks, Liam. So I guess the subject today is a little different than what we've done with a number of the Front End Planning Guru podcasts, but I think it's extremely important. One of the things that we have to actually address in early project planning, looking at projects really anywhere on the globe, is this whole idea of what is our labor market. And really that includes the labor market for construction and associated industries supporting construction, but it also even would be looking at the labor industry when the facility is complete. How are we going to actually use the facility for its intended purpose? Of course, workers' health, mental health is important to our understanding as well. The availability of workers is important. Their productivity is important. And the decisions we make early in the process can impact this. For example, projects that are performed in isolated locations, or projects that are performed where the climate conditions are very difficult, or if we're using modularization and pre-assembly, so our workforce is not just on the work site, but they're also away from the work site. We have a really interesting discussion today talking about issues to focus on in terms of workers' mental health. Many people do not realize that the construction industry, specifically construction and the extraction industries, has the highest death rate by suicide among all industries in the United States. And engineering is number 12. This is probably a trend or an issue is happening worldwide. And actually, there is some information that shows that this is a worldwide phenomena. So, David, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about how you ended up focusing on workers' mental health.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Gibson, and I appreciate ASU and you offering this information up in your front-end planning series. I think it's, as you indicated, it's a critical item within our industry and really important that we talk about it. I think people are probably aware a little bit more anymore about suicide and mental health. If there's anything positive maybe that came from COVID, I think it was a little bit of awareness, self-awareness, and awareness of employees in our construction companies that they did need to stay connected. They needed to have some resources out there to kind of keep their mental state positive while they were working from home or and disengaged from the workplace environment. Not so much in the field, obviously, we're out there building projects, but certainly with the office environment. I actually got involved with this back probably about 2015. I was actually at a conference, a CFMA conference over in California. And a gentleman that I was good friends with, who's a risk manager up with a heavy civil contractor up in Washington State, was doing an article on suicide prevention and mental health in our industry. And at the time, what he had indicated was that we were within the top nine industries, private industries, for suicide deaths. And as the CDC came out with a report in 2016 and updated it in 2020, we were not only in the top nine, we were, as you indicated, we're number one. And just a real quick statistic, of the nearly 50,000 deaths that occur by suicide annually, over 10% are construction workers. So we're right up there. The average national, the national average for suicide deaths per 100,000 of workers is about 14 per 100,000. In construction with males, it's over 49 per 100,000. And females, it's 25, a little bit less, but certainly well above the national average as well. So once that information came out, we got started on the education and programs to go out industry-wide. We started the Suicide Prevention Alliance. And it's a nonprofit organization that focuses on the industry. And in CFMA, we set up a committee that I started chairing to address this within our membership and our member companies. And that's where we got started. And even though I retired after many, many years with construction, you don't retire from things you're passionate for. So I've stayed with it and will continue to do so as long as I'm able.
Yeah, thanks, David. That's just an astounding number, 49. I think it's 49.1. And, you know, the reality of it is if a worker dies by suicide on a construction project, it involves not only them, but their families, their supervisors, and all their workers, their people that they're working with as well. It's a very traumatic experience, and many of us have experienced that in our lives in some form or fashion. And so, you know, the reality of it is, you know, how do you know there's a culture around this, and what's the main issue? You know, what are some warning signs that we should look out for? And by the way, just to kind of fill in the listener, CFMA is the Construction Financial Managers Association. So it's a national association here in the U.S. So what should we do? What should we look for?
Yeah. Well, as we went and started exploring this, we came up with basically about 12 risk factors, we call them. I guess they could be called root causes. And in construction, we're kind of the perfect storm because so many of the risk factors that are out there for people at risk for dying by suicide, the construction industry is just loaded with it. I mean, we are the perfect storm. Things like the tough guy culture, that's something that has always been part of construction. It's always been that tough guy mentality, push, get the job done, which is great. We do need to get the job done, but it means that people are not as willing to go and ask for help when they need it. Or if an employee is seeking help and the supervisors are just tough, push, you know, suck it up, get your job done. I don't want to hear about your personal problems. I don't care about what's going on personally. It makes it very difficult for them to feel comfortable asking for help or letting people know that they're reaching out for help. Another risk factor, and I'll just go through a couple of them here, but chronic pain. You know, construction is a tough industry, very physically demanding for the field. Years and years of that can create a chronic pain situation, or maybe it's just an injury that's happened. And again, chronic pain, which leads oftentimes to drug and alcohol abuse. And that's one of the high risk factors as well. Isolation, you mentioned about the projects out in the middle of nowhere. On heavy highway, especially, we had projects out way away from any cities and towns. And you're away from your family, your friends, the connectivity that's so important for human beings is taken away. Your crews really become your connectivities and your family. And it's really important that the industry recognize that and really promote crew sensitivity, knowing what's going on within your crew members and watching out for each other. Layoffs and furloughs, jobs end. You don't know whether you're going to end up after this project is over. Am I going to still have a job? Needing to do some pre-planning about financial issues when you're going to be furloughed or laid off after a project. Maybe it's seasonal. A lot of workers get laid off in the cold weather because there's just not as much activity going on in the northern part of the country. Sleep disruption is another risk factor. And as you know, our projects, a lot of times when you're doing the pre-planning, you've got to plan, okay, are the projects going to be done during the daytime? Is there going to be night shift work? During the course of the project, if the schedule changes, then you got to pre-plan, okay, how are we going to get caught up on schedule? And there again, you may be in a situation where you're putting a lot of people at risk by disrupting their sleep, because sleep patterns are important and it does affect your mental wellness. Leadership, we need to do training and make people have people educated about mental health side of safety protocols and how important it is that they be tuned in to their employees, their workers, and their coworkers, and what to do about it, knowing what resources, where they can send people, how they can utilize an employee assistance program if they've got one of those within their company. And last thing I'll mention is also our guys are very, we have access to a lot of lethal means, and certainly that's one criteria for someone that's going to take their life. A lot of our folks are big hunters. They're big firearm enthusiasts. So they have those access, those means of access, as well as the construction job site itself. You look at all the dangerous fall hazards, electrical hazards, all sorts of equipment that is out there. So if someone is at that point, there's obviously a way to accomplish it. And we just need to make sure that we're tuned into the employees so that if they are, we eliminate those risks. So the key really is to be aware of your environment and the people that are around you, and watch for warning signs. You're looking for changes in people's behaviors and attitudes, and what they do. It may be in the case of on the job site, lower productivity than the employee was capable of and been performing before, a lack of confidence. Maybe they're not paying as much attention to some of the safety protocols that are pushed by the company. And historically, they've been very safe, but now they're just not acting that way. They're not paying attention to it. Maybe higher absenteeism or more conflicts with workers out there on the job site than they used to have. So you're looking for something that's different now than was before, and then trying to relate that to, okay, what's going on here? Is there something, some side issue that is impacting the person's ability to perform as well as they can on the job? And the people that are going to be able to do that are the workers out on the job site. And that's why we try and educate and make aware of the issues with those people, so you can be kind of what you're called to, you know, be your brother's keeper and keep an eye out for them and make sure that they're working safe, that they're, if there's issues, that you recognize something is going on with that worker.
Thanks, David. I mean, wow, what a lot to unpack there. I think the reality of it is if we're involved in early planning of projects or pre-construction planning or whatever, we should assume that some of these factors are around in every job. But certainly if we have specific types of projects where we're working shift work, where we're working remotely, those kinds of things, we even exacerbate the situation in those typical scenario. I think a few of the things you talked about, and I'll let you expand on these, but I think training and education, trying to intervene when we see someone who's having and looking at difficulties, and certainly there's so many factors. You know, the question is, are some of our fatal construction accidents actually suicides? And I think probably that in some cases they are, because as you said, the lethal means are available there. So can you expand a little bit on, you know, some of the things that we can do to help prevent or manage these challenges? Because it seems like it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But, you know, if you think back historically, just the physical safety side of our industry and pre-planning for physical protection of our workers is something that took time to develop. And it's something that is always continuing to develop too. So I think you have to kind of look at it in that same light. The reality is we have to get the projects done. I mean, that's the end game. The question is, as you look and you plan for those projects and you plan for your workforce and you plan for scheduling, all of those need to be taken into account with the thought of the workers, and as you indicated earlier, your labor force, and keeping your people out there engaged, and what you can do to make their job and their lives safer. Again, physically is important, but also on the mental side. So even though you can't eliminate those risk factors, by being aware of the risk factors and what risk factors may play into particular projects as you're planning it, you know, you can do things like, you know, shifting crews around a bit, making sure that people do get home at points in time to reconnect with family and their community. Being aware of the fact that maybe if the job's going to be late night work or something, to try and work around that. Give activities outside going to the bar after you're done off your shift in a local community. Give other activities or other connectivity points that allow guys and women to connect in and feel that they're part of the family with something more to do other than just go down to the bar and slam a few beers down. Training is really important. Training is critical for all leadership, as well as all the way down through foremen and even employees, you know, the workforce, the laborers. One company, there are several companies I know, when someone is trained, they actually get hard hat stickers and they wear those hard hat stickers once they're trained and they feel comfortable addressing these issues with an employee. And that way, someone that is out there that is struggling, they know they can go to that person and talk to them and get led to some resources to help them through whatever issues they're dealing with. And that's a great way to allow that process of communication to be effective and known, so that people know who to go to. And they just need to, through the education and resources that the company offers, be sure that there's numbers, phone numbers. You know, we passed out wallet cards in our company so that they had employee lifeline numbers, which I'll give here towards the end. And they knew who to call. They had our numbers for our EAP programs. All they had to do was pull it out of their pocket. It was always with them. Things like that can help an employee know where to go and what to do. Get your leaders involved. To the extent a leader has a story, as you indicated, over 50% of us have been touched by suicide in one way. Have the leaders talk about their situation and let the employee know that, hey, this is a caring company. A lot of this is just cultural, no different than physical safety is part of a culture within a company. Mental health and suicide prevention, same thing. It's cultural, and it's got to start at the top, and the leadership has to be really active in putting a program together and changing the outlook and trying to eliminate some of the stigma associated with mental health.
Great remarks. I think, you know, the reality of it is, if we're taking care of our workers and we're doing this in a structured manner, it's not only great for the workers and the workforce, but it's also great for the project, right? And I think, you know, some of the things that I heard, you know, recognition, you know, so employees don't feel that they're just one number and no one cares about them. And so whether it's stickers, or it's having a, you know, a barbecue for the workforce, you know, we're trying to build team and build this whole idea that we're in this together. I think that's a really critical component. I think the other term that you used was cultural. And, you know, it is similar to this whole idea of safety culture. This is just one component of it. It's the mental health component of it that you have to address. And certainly this should be something that we're thinking about early in the project. Certainly as we're looking at the execution plan, the execution approach of our project, it needs to be something that's out there. There needs to be awareness of this. And thankfully we're seeing more awareness of this. There needs to be training. And as you said, at the leadership level, but also down at the craft level, so that people actually understand that this is an issue within our industry, and we can kind of stay away from that as we move forward. So David, anything you'd like to add in addition to this? You had mentioned a phone number earlier and some other things.
Yeah, I would just probably in closing just point you to a couple websites. CFMA has a website. If you go on and you click on their resources tab and go to suicide prevention, there's a lot of resources and articles and information there that you can start your own education and bring aware to your fellow workers some of the issues that are out there. The Construction Industry Alliance for Suicide Prevention also has a great website and can be accessed. So, but if you or someone listening to this or you know of someone that is at risk, that is struggling, I would suggest there's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number. It's 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. And they will actually connect in with somebody that is local to your area code on your phone. So it works very effectively. I've used it a time or two. The other thing that's going to be coming along in July is they're rolling out a national Lifeline, suicide prevention lifeline number. It's going to be a 3-digit 988. So middle of July, that will be available as well. Again, if you, anyone listening to this, or you know of someone, whether it's yourself or someone else that's struggling with thoughts of suicide, with depression, with anxiety, those type issues, then I would highly suggest a phone call and help them connect to get the help that they may be needing.
Thanks very much, David, for being with us today. This is a really important subject for our industry. I think that you laid out some really interesting and I think very valid steps that we can take as construction professionals and engineers to try to protect our workforce. We understand that, you know, now more than ever, we need everyone. And I think it's important to understand that this is a real issue for projects. It's a real issue for individuals and families and coworkers as we go forward. I'll repeat those numbers again. If you're out there listening to this and you know of someone or even yourself who needs some help, it's 1-800-273-TALK. In July of 2022, there will be a national, U.S. national number 988. I'm sure that all of this is confidential. It's just a way of getting to talk to someone who can provide resources and help. And that's what we're all about. So again, thank you very much today. And thanks to our audience for joining us today. And I think that's it for our discussion. Thank you.
Thank you all.